Good morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. This is an interesting chapter. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples and the people regarding the Pharisees. And just as right now we're doing the eight Beatitudes, Jesus talks about the eight woes in contrast. Okay, Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Now we're going to the eight woes. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of temple is obligated.' You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Or uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, And some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her? How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just offer you this morning and pray that this, you know, text, your word would really pierce us this day, and that we would be able to really inspect our own hearts and our intentions as well as our actions, whether they are righteous and pure. So just come, Holy Spirit, would you just be the one to really teach us, guide us during this time. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, again, Jesus, you would think after all the incidences he's had with the Pharisees, it would almost not require him to, you know, just point out all these things again, right? But he does, because you have to understand that the culture and the standing that the Pharisees have was just so incorporated into Jewish society. The way I kind of see it is kind of like, you know, Hunger Games, or like there's this really old movie, or there's this, the more recent is there's a movie called, I think it has different names, but it's called like Divergence. Is that right? Divergence. It's like really hip. But back in the day, there was a movie called Gattaca. And basically in all these movies, there was kind of like this utopian society, and people kind of just accept things for the way they are. And then usually one person kind of like, usually it's like basically everyone has a role and you must abide by this role. And then if as long as you do that, society is perfect and you're not allowed to deviate or have, you know, your own opinion. And usually in all these movies, an individual rises up and kind of questions these ideals and kind of rocks the boat. So that's kind of what's happening here as well, right? Which is, you know, there's a lot of messed up things that are happening. Corruption, you know, hypocrisy. But it's so ingrained, right? And so the Jews really respect these Pharisees. So even as Jesus is always battling and saying these harsh words to the Pharisees, the Jews and the disciples are always like, oh, like, did you just say that, Jesus? So that's what's kind of going on. And Jesus is really rocking the boat. And that's why he's, again, kind of doing this summary. Even though he's already had all these confrontations, he's doing this like summary statement to teach the disciples as well as just the people. And interestingly enough, in the Talmud, Talmud is the oral traditions and laws that are passed on. It actually does talk about different types of Pharisees, right? So I'll just share with you. So in the Talmud, it's communicated there are actually seven types of Pharisees. Six of them are bad, but one of them is good. So the good one I'll leave for last. I'll just read it to you. So it does talk about like Pharisees. So the first Pharisee is called, they call it the shoulder Pharisee, who wore all his good deeds and righteousness on his shoulder for everyone to see. The next is the wait a little Pharisee, who always intended to do good deeds, but could always find a reason for doing them later, not now. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe this is you. The next is the bruised or bleeding Pharisee, who was so holy that he would turn his head away from any woman seen in public and was therefore constantly bumping into things and tripping, thus injuring himself. And the next is the humpback Pharisee, who was so humble that he walked bent over and barely lifting his feet so everyone could see just how humble he was. The next is the always counting Pharisee, who was always counting up his good deeds and believed that he put God in debt to him for all the good he had done. And then there was the fearful Pharisee, who did good because he was terrified that God would strike him with judgment if he did not. So those are the six types of bad Pharisees. And then there is the God-fearing Pharisee, who really loved God and did good deeds to please the God he loved. So even within the Talmud, it talks about the Pharisees. So I guess most of the Pharisees, or most of the culture at that point, kind of fell under the six types. And then Jesus talks, first thing he talks about is he says, I think this is in verse 4, he talks about how the Pharisees just cause such burden in other people's lives. Such burden, such heaviness. And already you see that contrast with what he talks about with the Pharisees and Jesus. Jesus says he offers a light burden. Jesus will carry the heavy burden while you carry the light burden. But with the Pharisees, it's the other way around. They will carry the light burden while they put on the heavy burden. You could say the Pharisees, Jesus also goes on to say, you know, while you carry a heavy burden, they themselves are unwilling to even do anything or lift a finger. You could say the Pharisees are master delegators, right? They just, oh, you do it, you do it. And they're in the end, if you look at what's going on in their heart is to really not do anything at all. They want to be as comfortable as possible while other people does everything, right? And we need to be careful of this heart too. Because all of us, I think even though he's pointing out this, all these dark, dark things that are happening in the hearts of the Pharisee, they are very natural things that we would, that we ourselves could do, right? And you see here, as themselves, as master delegators, we would want, sometimes we delegate too. Not because, you know, delegating is important. Delegating is very important because we can't do everything, right? But you got to make sure the reason you're delegating is because you need help. Not because you just don't want to do it, right? And sometimes out of our laziness and our sinful nature, we delegate. Here, you do this. You know, oh, why don't you lead, pick up this huge responsibility. You don't even know if sometimes people are ready, you know, to be a house church leader, but you're like, oh, I'm so tired of being a house church leader. Oh, or maybe you even want the what is it? You want the glory of being multiplying, right? Because it's like, oh, we're fruitful, multiplying. You make people multiply, even though the leader might not be ready. So we must be careful that we are willing to also carry that burden. And then the second thing he points out is the desire for the rabbis, the Pharisees, to be seen, that they would be seen, and you know, they're wearing their religious attire, and they're like, oh, they're so holy. And it's this, how do you pronounce it, phylacteries? And it's this thing that they wear during basically morning prayer, right? In itself is great. It's this thing that they tie to their head, and it's got like Bible scripture, and it ties around their arms, and then holds a, there's a box that also holds scripture. And it's basically, the intention is for them to be reminded of the law and how good it is. But instead, it's become an outward, you know, an outward thing to show off, right? So they want to be seen. Another thing it says, you know, they love being greeted, you know, oh, well, hello, Rabbi. Hello, Rabbi. They love the benefits that come. You know, it says they will be at banquets. They'll be like, oh, why don't you sit here? Take the front row, right? Sit here, Rabbi. And it says they also love to be called Rabbi. Love to be called Rabbi. And even as I'm standing up here, and, you know, within the last year or two, I just step into the role of being pastor, I must also be careful of that, right? Where, oh, suddenly, oh, pecan, right? And I'm reminded of that because I remember when I first came to SP, or before I even came to Solomon's Porch, I met Pastor Sam first on the basketball court. So I didn't even know he was a pastor. I just saw him as this super competitive guy who was really good at basketball. And at that time, he introduced me to him as Sam. So I think for at least a year, I just knew Pastor Sam as Sam. And someone actually confronted me at one point and said, hey, don't call him Sam. You have to call him Pastor Sam. That's disrespectful. I was like, oh, really? So, I mean, I decided, you know, let me talk to Pastor Sam about it. It's like, hey, Pastor Sam, or I think, hey, Sam, can I ask you something? What do you prefer? Do you prefer to be called Pastor Sam or Sam? And he actually said, oh, yeah, whatever you want. You can call me Sam, Pastor Sam. And at that point, I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't really process it that much at the time. But eventually, I did call him Pastor Sam, just because everyone's calling him Pastor Sam. You know, you just get used to it. Not so much, it's like, oh, he's Pastor. I mean, there is a certain level of respect, right? But it really touched me because every time I look back at it, Pastor Sam was not so, how do you say, the title wasn't something he was like, oh, I must have, right? Instead, he's just like, yeah, just call me Sam. And for him, I think, and then, I mean, it addresses this right after, right? And it says, okay, right afterwards, Jesus says something very peculiar. He says, don't call them rabbi. And then he says, don't call your father's father, or don't call anyone your father. Don't call anyone your leader. Which is like, what? What do we call, then what do we call our, you know, our earthly fathers, right? But obviously, we do call earthly father, father. We do call pastor, pastor. But his point is, don't elevate anyone to that type of status that God has, right? Which is, God is the one. Yes, there are people in your life that will teach you certain things, but in terms of the status that God has, where, you know, who's really your guide, who's really your teacher, who is your true father, there's only one, right? And that's God. And then he goes on to saying, after the conclusion, which is saying, hey, don't elevate yourself, because he's using the Pharisees as example. Don't elevate anyone. Don't elevate yourself as someone who's seen like up here, nor do not elevate anyone else to this status, because at the end of the day, we're just all servants. That's it, right? Don't elevate yourself. Don't elevate others. End of the day, we are all just servants. And Jesus, who is supposed to be the Most High, even he himself said, I just came to serve. And then he goes on to tell us about God's kingdom economy, which is, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Amen. So we didn't get to touch on the eight woes, but we're out of time. maybe next opportunity. And then after that, he goes on to the eight woes. But let's close our eyes and let's inspect our hearts. Let's inspect our hearts. I know there's many people here who are leaders, whether you're a pastor or a house church leader or ministry leader, or even in your workplace, you know, someone who takes care of people. I mean, we definitely don't want to be how Jesus described the Pharisees, where we would be cast heavy burdens upon other people, right? We want to be like Jesus. And as people step into the faith, as they come alongside you in their walk, hopefully you can cause them to have a light burden, right? And you will help them carry it. You'll be the first to carry the burdens yourself. But also, what is going on in our heart? Do we really just want to be seen? Do we want the respect? Do we want people, you know, to put us in a place of honor? Or do we want to be like Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve? Let's inspect our hearts.
Sacrifice.
At the end of this chapter, Jesus laments over Jerusalem. So there's only two times in the Bible that Jesus wept. The first time was with Lazarus when he died. And this is actually the second time. He in verse 37, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he starts off that way. And he's lamenting, he's weeping, he's full of sorrow that, you know, basically the Jerusalem, the Jews rejected him. And this is inclusive of the Pharisees. And he shares also that his heart is to be like a hen that gathers the children, but he's unable to. So I know it seems like Jesus is so harsh towards the Pharisees, but he loves them. He loves them so much. And our takeaway for that is also with us, right? Even as we make mistakes, even if our hearts are dirty, and even under sin, Jesus doesn't hate us. He doesn't dislike us. He hates the sin, of course. But when we're in this place of sin and rebellion, he is also full of sorrow over us. And that sorrow and lamenting, and he just, because he loves us so much. So I want to give an opportunity, you know, as just continue to inspect your heart. And if there's any dirt, if there's anything that then you need to confess before God, feel free to do so, because God loves you, right? And he's full of sorrow when that sin is just shackling you in your life. So let's submit any impureness or sin in our lives. Let's turn to the slides as we pray for a community. Let's pray for a community that's loved ones that are suffering from cancer as well as recovering through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray for those who are sick but are also in need of salvation, for the word to really penetrate their heart. Cover those who are sick, suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's full healing and restoration. Let's cover our community that is seeking jobs. Let's pray for God to provide, to lead them to just the right job for them. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's start off with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG with Pastor Sam Kim, and also Indonesia, as well as our spin plant with Pastor Salamat. Let's pray for just the communities to continue to grow as they are led by their pastors. Let's go to our prayer and healing ministries. Let's cover IP, Matt. Let's cover The Well with P. Ricky leading, and as well as River with Rachel. Cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark led by P. Mary and Yiling, SP Youth with Pastor Nate, and SPU with Pastor Ricky, Pastor Andrew. Let's cover the ministries that the students would have opportunities to experience God. Let's go to our Thursday outreaches. Let's cover SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for the love of God to overflow through the teams and into their outreach, that God's compassion and love and justice and mercy would flow. Cover elements in Olympic House Church tonight, especially coming from this Sunday's message, where it can be, you know, can potentially have challenging sharing. Let's pray for God's presence to be very prevalent, for you know, wisdom and discernment for the leaders as well, of how to handle things, and really end of the day, just bring you know, lots of encouragement to the group this week. Let's also cover our retreat. Let's cover the Noah's Ark program. Let's pray for the kids, the teachers, as well as all the parent volunteers. Let's pray for just the logistics, just, you know, so much, you know, materials, crafts, and just so many people to manage. So let's really cover the Noah's Ark program. Father, we thank you for the word today, and you know, just allow us to see that even though you are harsh with the Pharisees, but you really love them, and just as so you love us so much, Lord. And continue to help us to be aware of what's going on in our heart. What are our motives? Are they pure, or are they really self-seeking? And, you know, if any of those things that were shared today, as you pointed out, the Pharisees' hypocrisy and impure hearts, if anything resonated with us today, may we just humble ourselves to address that, and let us respond by just really putting you as the center of our hearts, that we would also live as you lived, by really coming to serve, Lord, that we would serve. So, yes, Lord, give us a heart to serve this day, to serve those around us. Have a heart of compassion, to be even willing to carry other people's burdens, knowing that you are carrying our heavy burdens as well, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless our spirit, to connect to the Holy Spirit, and lead our body and soul. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to spend time with God, and have a great day.